Welcome back to Covenant Minutes. Today, for just a few moments, I want to talk to you about repentance that works. Repentance that works. Repentance means to take an about-face or to go in an opposite direction than where you're going in order to receive grace in the scriptural premise. Now, in our hearts and lives, when we repent, we usually are saying we're sorry and we know we're going the wrong direction or we've done something contradictory to the laws of God or man. Okay? And so we take responsibility of it and we try to get back on track. Well, there was a particular time in the scriptures where a whole nation, in a sense, or a city, I should say, had to do so. They had to get it together. And it was because they had received a message from a prophet called Jonah, who told them that God had sent him there to tell them to repent and to turn to God, or else judgment was coming. I guess the man of God was received and respected, because they definitely took his word to heart, and something about the message and the messenger took to the heart and life of the king and his subjects. And they made steps to correct the direction as a city state, etc., in its reflection to not just God, but to humanity. When the book of Jonah says that the Ninevites, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth and ashes, it really means from the greatest. Even the king got caught up in the wave of repentance sweeping through this city, or at least he found it politically advisable to lead a bandwagon that had already started to roll. We don't know if this king was the ruler of the city only or the ruler of the whole Assyrian Empire. Turn to Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. The king traded his robes of state for an uncomfortable garment of sackcloth and left his impressive throne for a humble seat in the dust. He set an example for his people. He recognized what they had done, or what had been considered the lifestyle or the deliberate actions of his people and himself. And he was going to make things right with God, whether he was just going along with what was going on or that he personally instigated or brought about this repentance of the people in his declaration. The king traded his robes of estate for an uncomfortable garment, that of repentance. And in our lives, taking upon that uncomfortable garment is something we try to avoid so many times. When it comes to dealing with relationships, when it comes to relating to God, when it comes to relating to circumstances. But if we will be quick to repent and understand that our hearts need to be right with God and our circumstances to be right and in good order, we will see fruit in our lives and God's blessing and forgiveness, and those of others as well. Along with his nobles, the king issued a decree for the people of Nineveh. Presumably, this decree was read aloud in public places or was posted where the literate could read it. The decree proclaimed a total fast, no food, no water for people and for domestic animals. Since no person can go more than a few days without water, the king evidently wanted a short but severe fast. So they weren't just repenting, they were putting actions behind and actually fasting as well. They truly wanted to get the heart of God and recognize, or have God recognize, that they were sincere in their intentions. Furthermore, the decree required that the people and the animals were to wear sackcloth. Perhaps the king wanted the rich ornamentation on harnesses and bridles exchanged for sackcloth coverings. To us, the inclusion of animals in the king's decree may seem bizarre, but such measures, though rare, were not unheard of in the ancient times. The historian Herodotus, and Plutarch recorded that at the later dates of the Persian mourning rites, it included animals. The Ninevite king's decree called for more than the trappings of repentance. In addition to fasting and wearing sackcloth, the people of Nineveh were to call urgently on God. So it wasn't just physical trappings. It wasn't just the fact of the repentance, verbally. Then second of all, the animals to be ornamented and as well for them to fast. But they actually verbally called urgently and it was stressed that they call urgently before God for mercy in verse 8. Their prayer was to be both public and earnest. Also, they were to give up their evil ways and their violence. It wasn't just to repent. It wasn't just to ask forgiveness. It wasn't just to put upon the trappings. They had to sincerely repent and to go in a new direction and to give up their evil ways. A lot of people repent. A lot of people put on the trappings. A lot of people say verbally to God they're sorry. But they do not give up their evil ways, and they do not change their direction, and they keep on doing what they're doing. So they might get a pardon, but they don't get the true forgiveness of God. They might get a pardon and get a time to be able to get things right, but they don't get the forgiveness of God. It doesn't really become permanent, the washing, the grace, the mercy, because their repentance is not sincere. God wishes none to perish and all to have everlasting life, but yet his grace has its bounds. And we need to remember that. Whatever it is today that you're battling and circumstances or situations, God wants you to come clean, to get a clean slate. And not just to get a clean slate, but to walk in a new direction and to not take it up again. Whatever is hindering your life, or not to see the same situation occur that has seen a mark of sin, transgression, iniquity, or guile take place in your life. Earlier, God had said that the city's wickedness had come up before him in chapter 1, verse 2 of the book of Jonah. And now something was being done about that wickedness. The reason the king gave for his decree was the possibility that God might yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Chapter 3, verse 9. Compare chapter 1, verse 6 there. Clearly, the king hoped that the overturning Jonah had proclaimed in chapter 3, verse 4 was conditional. He was hoping that the statement made by Jonah that had been proclaimed was conditional. And not inevitable. Maybe with repentance and with reformation on the part of the Ninevites, God's mercy might yet save the city. And thanks to his actions, God's mercy was shown. The overturning came. There was an opportunity. Now, Jonah didn't expect it. Jonah actually sat outside the city and waited for its, destruction. But he kind of knew his heart. If they repented, if they turned away from the evil, God would show mercy because he had done it before and he knew of it. But he sure didn't seem to want it, Jonah. In our hearts and lives, as we minister to one another and as we consider this day, in whatever state you're in, turn your situation over to God. Whatever impediments in your way, whatever situation it might be, whatever needs to be repented of or things turned around, give God the opportunity. Just like this king did. Just like the king of Nineveh did. Hey, maybe it's not inevitable, the punishment, was his thought. And in our hearts and thoughts, sometimes repentance brings forth temporary pain and hurt, and we have to deal with our situation and even make recompense for it. But if we do so, we can see the ultimate conclusion of grace. That's restoration, power, and mercy being ours through the great name of Jesus. God bless you today. I hope this word was a blessing to you. In Jesus' name.